I was in prayer at a minister school a couple weeks ago up in Lancaster, and I know that the Lord gave me this as our vision, really what God wants to do in our church. Listen, I say this because it's important. We come to church, okay? And as I said last week, we should be the church, right? Not just come to church, we need to be the church. That the church is alive. The church is the body of Christ, as Jesus said. That's a good thing. So many people miss that, and they think of the church as this organization, or the church as the building, or whatever. The church is the body of Christ. We should be His hands to the world, right? We should be really the ones that the world looks at and says, Jesus is alive. They should look at us. Jesus even said that they will know that we actually follow Him by how we love each other. And I think we do have a loving church. But I want to be the church. I don't just want to do the church. Anybody else with me today? And as I think of the future of our church and look over this year, I'll just be very honest with you. I want to see people come to know Jesus. I want to see your family members come to know Jesus. I really do. I want to see those who are alcoholics be delivered. I do. My heart is to see drug addicts delivered. I want to see those with no hope find hope. Because see, that's who we serve. We serve a God who does that all the time. Right? He's doing that around the world. And He wants to do that here. And I want to see what He's doing. I want to be a part of what He's doing. You know, I want to say, Lord, use me. If you know that song from Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir from Jim Cimbala, this famous song that I love, they wrote, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Right? If you can use anybody, Lord, you can use me. Use me for your glory. God gave me this verse. I know He did. I know He did. And I'm not a guy who hears from God every 5 minutes. I mean, I wish I did. Sometimes people who hear from God every 5 minutes, they really don't. They just, you know, they just think they do and are off in tangents. But my desire is to hear from Him more. But I say that to say that when I receive this, I know this is from the Lord for this year. And I know that Jesus wants to do great work in our church. It doesn't mean I'm going to preach the same message all year. Don't think, well, I don't have to come back. It's not that. Okay, we're just starting this theme. But God wants to do new things in our church. And I want to be open to Him. I want to see Him work. This verse starts out with, and you can, let's just read it together. If, and I know it's broken up, so I'll walk us through my little red dot. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people... Again, this speaks of such potential. If my people, we are called Christians, are we not? The term Christian literally means little Christ. In fact, in the book of Acts, we can see where the term was first applied to the church, and it was a derogatory term. It was something like this. What, you all think you're little Jesuses? You're little Christs? That's what Christian means. What's wrong with you? And the church heard that and said, I do want to be like Jesus, right? Not that we're Jesus, but I do want you to see me and see a little bit of Jesus in me. We'll take Christian, thank you. That's a great term. But we are His people. We are called by His name, Christian, right? Those who follow Christ, we're called by His name. If my people who are called by my name, if you humble yourselves, pray, seek my face, the Lord says, and turn from your wicked ways, right? Then He's going to do something. I'm sure you see this in the verse. He says, if you do this, then I'm going to do this. Okay? God wants to work in our lives this year. Isn't that awesome? I want to hear from God this year. I really hope that in your heart you get excited about that. That at the end of this year, coming out, at the end of December, we should look back and say, man, I'm closer to Jesus than I ever have been. Right? We should look back and say, this year I've seen Jesus touch people and heal people. I've seen Jesus work and provide for my family. Right? I've seen Him do things in my life. The Lord says, if you do these things, then, again, that last part, then I will hear from heaven. God says He wants to hear your prayers. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? The same God who said, let there be light, boom, and there was light. Think of that. Just let your mind go back, if you could, to imagine the beginning of creation. Let there be water. Boom. Let there be sheep. Boom. Whatever the Lord was creating that day, He spoke it into existence. That same God who holds the universe together, let there be stars across the sky, right? Everything. Let there be the laws of thermodynamics. Boom. Spoken into existence. Let there be gravity. He has everything perfect. That God says, I want to hear you. I want to hear you. Ivan, Natalie, Kate, Alicia, John, Brian, right? Glenn, Sheila, I want to hear you. It blows me away, doesn't it? Anybody else? I want to hear you, Vivian and Bill. I want to hear you, Billy, right? Isn't it crazy? I say, Lord, I want you to hear me. I want to be close to you. He says, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive your sin. Oh, Lord, I want to be forgiven. I want to receive your forgiveness. Who doesn't like a fresh start? Do you remember school? You guys, you're still in school, right? Are you done, Natalie? You're going back? I remember college. I remember not doing everything you should do, and your grades aren't what they want, and you fight hard, and you get through, you take your final exam, and everything's good. Praise the Lord. And when you go back, I remember the clean start, right? The fresh start. First day of school, everybody has an A, even me. A fresh start. The Lord says, I want to give you a fresh start. Isn't that good? That in your past, for some of you, I think we might miss the significance of this in its entirety, because we can think that, well, when I say the bad word, Jesus will forgive me, which is true, but this is life-changing. Because what this says is, think of the darkest thing in your heart that you're the most ashamed of. That you don't want anybody to know you did. That even today it still hurts you. And you don't even want to think about it because you're uncomfortable and you want to shrink. Jesus says, I will forgive that sin. That the deep things that maybe make you afraid to do things today. You're afraid that somebody will hurt you, or you're afraid to take risks in life or whatever, or because you have so much shame in your heart. Jesus died on the cross, and His blood was there to wipe away that sin, to give you new life. Isn't that awesome? It also gives you the power to forgive other people and do the things you need to do. Jesus died on the cross for the sin of the victimizer, but also the sin and the pain of the victim. If somebody has hurt you in a way that deep within your heart you feel shame, deep within your heart you feel shame, you don't want anybody to know, that somebody hurt you and they sinned against you. Maybe it was an inappropriate way completely. Maybe somebody just broke their trust. For some people, it's rape or sexual abuse, physical abuse, maybe of a parent or a loved one or somebody you should have trusted who shouldn't have ever touched you. Jesus died on the cross to take away that shame and that guilt. Forgiveness of sin is for those sins that you've committed, but those sins that were committed against you. We're talking new life here. That if we give that to the Lord, He will heal us. He will restore us. That is life-changing, isn't it? That is life-changing. And He wants to do that for you and for your family members this year. Can you think of anybody who that would change their lives? People who were broken? People who, in their identity, listen, for a man today, if you say, if you introduce yourself and say, hey, tell me a little bit about yourself, or who are you? Most of the time, a man will answer and say, I'm a plumber. I'm an electrician. I install garage doors. I'm a baker. Whatever. Who you are is so closely related to what you do, right? For a man. I don't know why. It just is. Probably shouldn't be, but when you say who you are, if you're an electrician, that's not really who you are, that's just what you do, right? For a living, that shouldn't be who you are. And somehow your identity is attached to that, and anybody know what I mean by that? You just are. If you're a soldier, who are you? You're a soldier. Well, you're really a person. You have a name, right? You have an identity. You have things that make you you, that God created you, but we think of what we do or whatever. So many people, their identity is victim. Who are you? I'm somebody who was abused. Who are you? I'm someone who their parent didn't love. Right? I see that so many times. So many times. I come across a young lady the other day that had that situation. She had bad things in her past. And when she would talk to other people, she would tell them about the bad things that happened. And you just sit back and say, why would you even share these bad things? Because it became a part of her identity. And throughout life, every day she would wake up and you'd look in the mirror and who are you? You'd look in the mirror and I'm someone who has been broken. I'm a victim. I'm someone who was sinned against. Jesus died on the cross for that. And I say, thank the Lord for that. So what we're talking about this year potentially is new life for you. Right? I want God to hear me. And I want Him to forgive me. And forgive and heal places in my heart where other people have hurt me. Right? Perhaps people have said things to you or told you you're stupid or you'll never amount to anything. Those things can take root in your heart and hurt. And you might never tell anybody about it. But Jesus is able to heal that. And He says also to restore your land. King James says to heal your land. If you think in an agricultural mindset, right? That was everything, wasn't it? Your land is your whole economic system. Because you grow crops, right? Your land is financial security for your home, right? Your land is everything. If you own land and you're a farmer, that's everything. That's your means to provide. That's everything for your family. This year, I'm praying that the Lord would begin to restore things in our lives that we've lost. Maybe things that the devil robbed from you. Maybe things by your own fault or by the sin of others that you've lost some stuff. It could be financially. It could be relationally in your family, whatever it is. God is a restoring God. And this year, I believe He's telling us that He wants to listen to our prayers. He wants to provide forgiveness and life change and make us new. And He wants to restore. He wants to restore. I hope you can catch a glimpse of this. I honestly do. Could you just think for a second. What would you need God to restore in your life? Anybody, can you just think of something? What do you need God to restore in your life? Can anybody think of something? Right? That you like, oh, I need God to come in and move. We serve a personal God who wants to move in our lives. That's why, again, I'm excited to be the church and not just do church. We're talking about life change. We're talking about the abundant life Jesus called us to, right? Amen? Amen. Last week we spoke on prayer because it was the week of prayer. Right now, we're going to begin to talk about humility today. Humility. God wants to change your life. And one of the things He says, the first one on this list in His verse, is to be humble. What is humility? Here's some definitions of humility for you. Then we're going to turn to Luke in a second. Humility is a lack of false pride. It's a lack of false pride. To be honest with you, my big picture definition of humility is being honest. It's just being honest. You don't have this false wall up that you're the greatest thing ever, right? Humility, let me shut this. Humility also isn't something that you can be proud of, right? I'm the most humble guy in the world, and I'm proud of it. Then you're not humble at all. Humility is a lack of false pride. Another definition is a freedom from pride. Freedom. There is freedom from laying down this wall that you put up for everybody else to see. That you have it all together, that everything is fine. Humility says, I'm going to let that go. You know, when people look at me and they think I'm perfect, and I put on this thing, I cake on the makeup, and I look like I'm fine, when deep inside I'm crying out. Humility says, let's just strip that off, and let's just be real. Specifically with the Lord. Let's be real with God. Let's not walk around pretentiously. Let's just be real. The Bible dictionary says that humility is a state of mind that's well-pleasing to the Lord. It preserves our soul in tranquility. Interesting. Makes us patient under trials. Humility is a place where we can find peace when we're with the Lord, right? Just be real. Just take it down a notch. Look in Luke chapter 18, verse 9. Luke 18, verse 9. Here we see Jesus referring to two people who were in prayer. And Lord willing, we'll see clearly that one of these guys we should be like, and the other not so much. Luke 18, verse 9. Jesus, as we read your words, I pray that you would challenge us, God, to be like you, to live for you. In your name, amen. It says, then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. You know anybody who has confidence in their righteousness? In other words, they're so religious that they're just... they're the deal. They just know. Anybody? See your hand? Yeah? Okay. Anybody want to own up and admit that that's you today? No, nobody wants to own up to that one, right? Right. But if we're not careful, we could become that. Okay? We could become that. We can think that I go to church every week, or I give every week, or I tithe every week, or, right? And then all of a sudden we can think we're better than everybody else. The Lord says, make sure you remember that the only reason that you're any good is because Jesus changed us and made us good. Right? Amen? Look at verse 10. Here's the story. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, or a religious leader. The other was a despised tax collector. Okay, so just to set this up, one was the religious leader. Think like most religious person in the world. You can kind of think of like pastor, priest, somebody really important who really has it all down, walk around and maybe clean, white clothes. You can think of the TV pastor with the ice cream suit, maybe. All beautiful, spotless, whatever your picture is. If you don't like those guys, then that's not going to work for you. Picture somebody else. Pick somebody who's really righteous, really dignified, okay? That they just have it all together. And the other guy is a tax collector. Okay, tax collectors were hated. They were crooks. They were frauds. Because the problem was, don't think IRS, because it's even worse than that. These guys, they would go to receive taxes, and they would keep a lot of money themselves. Like, if your tax bill is $100, they might charge you $300, $400. And then give the IRS their part, and they would just keep the rest. They were hateful people. So Jesus is comparing the really, really good church person who never misses a Sunday to this guy who's hated. Okay, let's move on with this story. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else. For I don't cheat, I don't sin, and I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. Okay, what's the problem here? It's pride, right? Do you see that? Now, let's just take him at his word. I'm not a sinner. I don't cheat. He's thinking that guy's a cheater. That's what tax collectors do. I don't sin. What does he mean by that? His definition of sin and God's are no doubt different. But he's probably thinking, I don't go do all the things that they do. Look at me. I'm so good, right? He says, I don't commit adultery. That's a good thing, right? To not commit adultery? Anybody? All right. I really hope I got... That's a good thing, right? To not commit adultery? Okay. I fast twice a week. Anything wrong with fasting? What is fasting? It's laying down the physical food to receive spiritual food from the Lord. It's going without lunch, so you pray during lunch. And God will bless you for it. The Bible talks a lot about fasting. That will bless you, that you'll seek God, that you will be able to hear from Him clearer. Fasting is a good thing. I give a tenth of my income. That's good, right? What's another word for tenth? Tithe, right? So when we give our tithes and offerings, the Bible tells us clearly that we're supposed to give the Lord our first 10%, or first fruits. And we give it to the Lord. And then God will bless us. In fact, the Bible really doesn't say give it to the Lord. The Bible says that it belongs to God. That God says the first 10% that you make is mine. So we just give it back to Him. And then He blesses us to a point where the 90% is way better than the 100 would have ever been. And God says, trust me. Why does He say to tithe? For one, it forces us to trust Him. Right? And also, it's His way to provide for the church, which is a good thing as well. And our way to learn to trust Him, to receive blessings from Him. And I do believe that if we faithfully tithe, we receive blessings from God that we won't receive if we're not faithful. If you read through the book of Malachi, it actually says that people that don't tithe are stealing from God. Because He says it's mine. I say all that to say, was that a good thing? If we take Him at His word and He tithes, very good thing, right? Very good thing. Pastor Bob, can you tap up our thermostat one more time? People are shivering. As I said, when we built the addition, it's throwing our thermostat off. So you can actually give us 2 degrees if you want, Bob. And we'll love you for it. And Vivian will be grateful. Who else is cold? Kate. Kate will be happy. Sheila. Okay. So, all right. So this is good, right? But do you hear his prayer? I thank you that I'm not like this guy. Quickly, look at the other guy. Verse 13. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, Oh God, Be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. Do you see that? If you will, you can think of him as the bum or the crook, whatever. This bad dude didn't even get close. He stood at a distance. He didn't even feel righteous to do one of these. He just beats his chest. God, I'm wretched. Lord, I'm messed up. I need your mercy. This is what Jesus says. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be what? Exalted. Wow. So what is humility? It's being honest, right? It's just being real. The Lord knows your sin. He knows it all. Let's just be real with Him. Amen? Also, don't be afraid to show your passion for the Lord. Right? This man was beating his chest, crying out, God. Now, we don't need to be the church that everybody beats their chest. That's not the point. The point is just get real and get passionate for God. He wasn't thinking, today I will punch my chest and after 25 punches, God will find me acceptable. Some religious systems do things like that. You need to kneel, get up, kneel, get up, kneel, get up. You have this thing of how many times you do something. That's not it. Jesus said this guy was justified because of his heart. And he was real before God. What I want to tell you is get real before God, right? If you didn't know the story and you couldn't even hear them, but you looked from a distance at these two men praying, could you have seen a difference in them? Right? Like if you're up in a tree 4 miles away with binoculars, you could see they were physically doing something different, right? One guy is all prideful. I don't know, maybe he had his hands up, maybe he didn't, I don't really know. But very prideful in his prayer. And the other guy, you could see he was shaken. He was just beat up, but he was really honestly confessing. What's my point here? My point is that we should not be afraid of physical ramifications to what's happening in our heart. Right? Don't be afraid to show physically what's happening inside. God created us mind, body, soul, and spirit together. They're all mixed up. Right? When we're broken and we're praying, from the outside, you can see. Right? Some people, maybe you've seen in churches, they do this big outward grand thing. And deep in their heart, they're not even worshiping God. But they like to put on a show. Anybody ever see anybody like that? Okay? In the same way as you don't stop going to the doctor because some people abuse medicine, or you don't stop eating because some people abuse food, don't stop being passionate for God just because some people are a little off. Right? They might even be a lot off. They might be wacky, crazy people. They might not even love the Lord. It might be all religious show, whatever. Don't be afraid to be real with God because somebody else lifted up their hands but they were a crook. In your heart, that could be pride when you're judging the other guy. You seem to say, Lord, forgive me of that. And I just want to get real with you. Humility is getting real with God. Just getting real with Him. And it will show physically. You know? Maybe your prayer, maybe you'll kneel. Maybe you'll lift your hands and worship, but it will show, right? For some in church, there's tears and stuff. Is that a bad thing? That's not a bad thing. They're being real with the Lord. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be stoic like Mr. Spock. He wasn't a Christian, okay? Don't. Just be real with God. Also, don't make fake tears because you need to cry. Because somebody might think you're holier if you cry. Don't get into any of that weird stuff. Humility to me is just being real. It's being honest. It's freedom from all this religious pretension. Okay? It just is. And Jesus said that when we're like that, that's when we're justified. Amen? Now, the devil does not want you to be humble. Okay? Why did the devil get kicked out of heaven? Pride. Right? Pride. I want to read you a scripture from 1 Peter 5. You can just listen closely. You could turn there later if you want. But verse 5, or 6, 7, and 8, they talk about humility. And then it immediately talks about the devil. It talks about humility, prayer, and the devil. Boom, boom, boom. Listen. 1 Peter 5, 6, 7, and 8. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, He will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares for you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Did you see those verses back to back to back? Humble yourselves under God's hand. He will lift you up, right? Humble yourselves. He will lift you up. To be honest with you, I think this is how it works in ministry for myself. I didn't just show up to pastor the church here. If you've heard me tell the story, I apologize, but real quickly, I went to Malaga Assembly when I made a wrong turn, just showed up, just went to church, long hair, leather jacket, Harley Davidson shirt. Didn't ride the bikes, I just liked the shirts, but I had old muscle cars. I liked the 70s, I was a GM guy, I had a 76 Nova that was nice, I had a 68 Firebird, wish I still had that car, now I drive a Saturn. I lost all, but my car now is out of this world. Get it? Not really. Today I was going to church. And we're still doing 6 miles an hour. Whatever. It's not as cool as it used to be. But I went to church. Okay? Already knew the Lord. I just went because I was praying for a church to go to. And showed up. They needed help. Pastor would say, "We're having a work day. Can you help?" Okay. And I went and helped. I just went and served and attended. I was faithful in my attendance. Eventually, I was just talking to my wife about this yesterday. Eventually, it was around 1995, December 1995. Pastor Ray from Malaga Assembly came over to me and he said, "I've been praying for you about how to get you plugged into the church." Before this, actually, I was playing guitar on Sunday mornings a little bit. And he says, "We have a new youth pastor coming next month, January 96. And he said, "I think it would be great if you could help him out. Can you do that for me? Help him? Come play guitar for him or whatever he needs?" Sure, I'll do it. And I went and I was faithful and I just served the Lord. And just showing up, long hair, black jacket, the whole deal, I was just a guitar player. I was their band. Right? And the Lord started working in my life. I've never been someone who stepped up to say, "Look, I'm in charge. You need to listen to me because I'm in charge." I'm just someone who says, "I want to be used by God." And the Lord has worked in my life. And He has exalted me to the place where I am now. And to be honest with you, I don't say that. It sounds... Truth is, leadership in a church is a step lower because you get to serve more people. And it's with humility that I say, I am so blessed to be your pastor. And I love being where I am now. It's not up here with a prideful thing. It's down here saying, I could, at that point, I could serve the youth pastor. Now I'm here to serve all of you and your extended families. And God's been at work in my life. I've never been someone who said, "Look at me, I have a title." That's not been who I am. My story is that if you humble yourselves, the Lord lifts you up. Amen? There are some people who want to exalt themselves and they show up to church saying, "I want to do all this stuff and I can bless you." That's a turnoff right away. Because I think when we come with open hearts God takes that, right? Humility, God takes that and He lifts us up into places where we need to go. Seek Him. But that verse said, humble yourselves. The next line, great verse for prayer. Cast all your cares before the Lord because He cares for you. Right? 1 Peter 5, 6, 7. Verse 8, watch out. The devil's looking to eat you up. Okay? It says, humble yourselves. Pray. And watch out for the wicked one. Humble yourselves. Pray, seek, turn from your wicked ways. Very similar, isn't it? The devil doesn't want you to be humble. He wants you to get to a place where you even end up saying, I don't need God. I don't need that pastor. I can read the Bible on my own. I don't need church. I can do this whenever I want, where I want. I have a DVR. I can watch the TV guy whenever I want. I can even pause it to use the bathroom and come back and it's fine, right? If the message is hurting too much, I can turn it off because I don't have to listen. That's not the way church is supposed to be, is it? That's pride. That's pride. But when we humble ourselves and we seek the Lord and we become the church, and when there's a message that God gives me and it stings and it hurts, if it's biblical, I want you to receive it and apply it like you would medicine from a doctor. If it's not biblical, then I don't want you to receive it. Talk to me after. Okay? But I want you to think it through. And if it's biblical, receive that from the Lord. Because sometimes the things that hurt make us better, don't they? Anybody ever hold your baby at the doctor's office when they got an injection? That was like my job. That job was terrible. A little Amber, and she, when she got old enough, she would look at me like, why are you letting them do this to me, Dad? I'm like, you know, horrible. Sometimes the things that hurt us make us better in the long run. I preach hard. One pastor says if you preach hard, hard preaching makes soft people. Makes our hearts soft for the Lord. Soft preaching makes hard people. And we become like the Pharisee that misses the blessing of God. I want you to be like the broken sinner who leaves justified. And that's what I want to be. I want to be like that guy. We're going to wrap it up here. Again, the devil doesn't want you to be humble. Okay? The devil wants you to put on this face and say, nothing is wrong with me. Here's a couple of things before we go. You can just write down these statements. Actually, I'm going to click them up here. You can just look and pay attention. Is the thing plugged in the back? Humility is the proper attitude before God, okay? When we're humble, we're in the right place before God. Why? Because He's God. We're not, right? Humility shows that we're dependent upon God and that we're appreciative of God. Humility says, God, thank you for everything I have. Humility says, even though I work hard every day, you're the one who provided the job and you're the one who provides the ability to go to work, right? Humility gives praise back to God. It's important. It shows that we're dependent upon God. It gives us the right attitude. The devil doesn't want you to have the right attitude before God. The second thing, it makes our prayers direct and honest. It's just getting real with God. See, when we begin to talk to God out of a pure heart, out of a real heart, and we just confess our sins, you know, and you begin to pray for your kids and for your parents, whoever you pray for your spouse, out of a real heart, it puts us in the right place. It makes us honest. It makes our prayers direct, and God will work in our lives. It shows that we need His strength, that we're not dependent on our own. The third thing, it challenges our pride. It challenges our pride. We need to stop acting like we have it all together when we come to God. We need to stop that. to be honest with you, when we come to God and we have this whole false thing where we act like we don't need anything, I hate to speak for God, but I think it's almost like this. When we come and act like we don't need anything, maybe God is thinking, if you don't need anything, I'm not going to give you anything. Right? That when we come and I don't need your stinking stuff, Lord, because I'm good, I'm religious, I don't need you. Maybe if I were God, I guess I should say, I would say fine. Fine. God wants to bless. I want Him to bless me. Anybody else? I want Him to use me. I want Him to see my family touched. And as your pastor, God is using other churches. Other people are getting touched. I want to see our people continue to get touched. We've been blessed with the grace of God. He's healed people of cancer and everything in our church several times. Amen? Yes. Many of whom are sitting right here, and you might not even know it, and you're sitting next to them. God is healed. I want that to happen even more. One day we'll buy a good microphone. The last thing, humility is Christ-like. Jesus said this in a, you know this verse from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you," listen to this, "because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Truth from Jesus. Jesus said, "I am humble. Come to me. Come to me. You're weary. You're beat up. You're burdened." Jesus says, "I am humble. I am humble and gentle at heart. You will find rest for your souls." Some of you today, you're beat up. You're beat up. You're carrying a lot of weight. Jesus does not want you to carry all the weight you're carrying. 1 Peter 5, 7 said, "Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for us." Jesus, in His own words, says, "My yoke is easy." What is a yoke? It's like the big plow you would hook on the back of an ox and have it go through the field and plow up the dirt. Jesus said, "The one that I have, that I want you to hitch up to, it's not that bad." Many Bible scholars says because this one is picturing the dual oxen yoke, where Jesus hitches up next to you and helps you carry your load. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. We're going to close in prayer right now. We're going to pray. Today, what I want you to do is just be real with God. Can we do that today? Because Jesus wants to bless us this year. He says, if you seek. Do you understand the only limit you have this year is yourself? We serve an unlimited God. The only limit to me and what the Lord would have me to do this year, the only limit with me meeting all of the things that God wants me to do is myself. If I'm faithful to Him and seek Him, I will accomplish through His power everything He wants me to accomplish. The same thing with you. The only limit you have is you, because God is unlimited. I want to encourage you to seek Him today. Seek Him today. And if you do that, then He'll work. Then He'll work.